All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Onsite Inside podcast. I'm your host, Corey Tompkins, and today we're joined by a special guest, John from JJ Contractors. We've got a really good episode in store for you guys, so buckle in. John, thank you for coming on.
No worries,
I know you're an avid listener of the podcast as well, but thank you again for jumping on, man. You've got your own journey. You run a really good ship, really professional, and to start us off, man, give us a little bit, our listeners anyway, give them a little bit of a backstory about how you started in the trade, where you're at now, and and then we'll start running through the questions that everyone probably wants to hear.
Well, I guess straight out of school, straight into an apprenticeship, luckily, it was hard to get back then.
Yeah, that's a common occurrence.
I managed to snag one through like an apprenticeship mob. First boss was interesting. He was actually like a competitive bodybuilder.
So
he was quite good apparently. So when he would be getting ready for a comp, training heaps, he wouldn't come to work. And I was the first year and be like, take the trailer.
Oh, so it was literally just you and him.
Me and him, that's it.
Yeah.
And he'd go to the site, do this. Anything you fuck up is coming out of your wage.
No way.
And back then, first year, I think I was making like $7 an hour or something. I was already spending all my fuel towing his trailer around. So I was shitting it a bit, but it taught me to not stuff up, basically, not as much.
So, before you keep going, so talk to us, like family-wise, did you have brothers, sisters, dad,
no one
in the industry. No. So you literally, what was your, that interests me, because a lot of guys that come on, they've got that, like for me, my brother, my dad, everything like that. Like for you, what was the, because don't get me wrong, $7 an hour doing carpentry is fucking shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I obviously liked woodwork through school.
Yeah.
Like our school, high school had a pretty good kind of, route. Like you had like, you finished, if you did these two certain classes, you finished with a cert one in furnishing and a cert one in construction.
Yeah.
So really enjoyed those classes, went down that route. And probably wasn't until I finished school is when I figured out I wanted to be a chippy.
Yeah.
And then that's how I kind of started chasing. Obviously I had jobs like working. My old man had a computer style business and I'd work in his warehouse for money or whatever. But then it wasn't until probably near end of school I figured out it's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
It was a chippy. So did that, got the apprenticeship and And then it kind of worked for old
mate. So you stay with this bodybuilder bloke?
I stayed with him until I think he must have stopped, I don't know, whatever happened, they took me back from him.
Yeah.
The apprenticeship mob did.
Okay.
And then I got placed with another guy who's who I finished my apprenticeship with.
Okay.
Great carpenter.
Yeah.
Whereabouts
were you at this point? Like
probably halfway through second year.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And then he was great. We did everything from strip out, concrete prep. We're doing all our own concreting, all that kind of stuff right up to handover. So that's how I kind of learned all
that. So the second guy was the same, just you and him?
Me and him, and he had another tradesman.
Yeah.
And then probably when I was about fourth year, he put on first year.
Yeah.
So then there was a bit of a crew then.
Yeah, sweet.
And he was great. Yeah, great boss to work for.
Yeah, that's good. Yep. So you got the foundation and everything like that. Yeah, because I feel we'll go back to some of the questions in about like to where you are now, but I feel there's a massive gap in the market. Like we've had a lot of guys come on here that have been from New Zealand.
Yeah.
And I know you'd probably like a lot of guys know for what it is. You guys are listening. You guys will know. But it's like, over there, it's very common. They refer to them as builders.
Yes.
No, you don't really like, if you go up to every fucking chippy over there, they refer to themselves as a builder. Because the process is very much similar to how it was in Australia about 25, 30 years ago, where if you're a carpenter, you were part of the whole process. Yeah. Where now, fast forward to 2024, 2025, when this comes out, it's like, it's so mainstream. Like it can be so mainstreamed, especially in like Brisbane, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Obviously, as you get further out, it gets harder to get trades and stuff like that.
Of course,
so it makes. So you were with him, had a bit of a crew. How long did you stay with that guy for?
Till I got signed off.
Yeah.
And then, like most young guys, you go chase some money.
Yeah.
And I had a friend who was concreting at the time and he was making X amount per day.
Yeah.
He's like, come over. So I went in concreting for probably
three
years.
Yeah.
Kind of did everything from curb and channel style concreting right up to decks.
Yeah.
So
do you have you obviously decks. Looking, did he have, because you obviously had the carpentry knowledge, did he have you looking after like
so
the more like, complex stuff?
I was doing a lot of the form work and boxing up like all that kind of stuff. And obviously then learned how to finish concrete, which is handy to know.
Yeah.
100%. And then did that and then kind of got, when the wet season come around, you weren't working much. I was like, this sucks. So then basically went back. Sorry, I went machine operating for a year and a bit, like excavators, bobcats, that kind of stuff, road profilers as well.
Yeah.
And then just ended up straight back where I started. back, actually went back and worked for my old boss for a bit.
Yeah.
And
not the bodybuilder.
No, the one I finished with Tom.
Yeah.
And then pretty soon after that, man, I started my own business. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sweet.
Yeah. Which was backwards. Now, after getting a builder's license, you understand that experience for yourself doesn't count.
Yeah. We can touch on the whole how to obviously obtain a builder's license, because I know that there's probably some guys out there listening to this right now that have gone down the path of QBCC. Yeah. And like when I went through it, it was fucking difficult. And that was like 5 years ago. And it was literally like a binder book of just like, you know, a little tip for you guys. Call in favors, you know what I mean? There's ways around it. Yeah. DM me and I'll teach you how. But it's like, you know, for me, I had to do what I had to do. And like QBCC, or even now, like you fucking see it across Facebook pages. Mm. Like they're fucking even tightening the screws even more.
Yeah. Like, which I kind of agree with to 100%. An extent. There's a lot of grubs.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. You know, the further they tighten the screws, guess what happens?
It's better for us, right? Yeah.
You know what
it's,
I mean?
It's
supply and demand.
It was tricky. It was tough to get. Like I had to go back and actually subbed to a guy doing childcare centers. So I was still running our business and we had some of our own jobs.
Yeah.
But then for about a year and a half, I had to go kind of run jobs for this particular guy to get the experience that QBCC said I had to get. Even though I'd already done it all for myself, but it doesn't count.
How's this? So I went down to this is the thing that I never knew.
Mm.
And this is going to be a fucking lesson for you guys. When I went for my QBCC builder's license, I listed all these fucking jobs, all these jobs that I was part of, supervised, leading hand, whatever you want to call it, I was part of, I was running them.
Yeah.
The QBCC chick then turned around and said, "We note that your supervisor's license wasn't valid during those days, so voided." Fucking lost years of experience, right? Yep. So that was something that I had to learn the hard way. Yeah. It was like, I was like, oh, but I was still, they're like, no.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have been doing it. And she gave me a full fucking spiel. Yeah. Shouldn't have been doing it. Unlicensed, you weren't licensed to do it. You're unlicensed, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, well, now I know.
Mm.
So, hey. Yeah. Yeah. First things first, for you chippies that are out there, if you got your QBCC license, get your supervisor's license, even if you don't.
As soon as you can.
Yeah. Get it as soon as you can. Even if you don't anticipate being a supervisor, get it. Because then that way you can, you have the years.
Yeah. Well, it's, again, I don't have any. I know a few guys in the industry now, but back then I didn't know any licensed builders. Yeah. No idea. Other than the dude I was subbing to, didn't really know him that well.
So when you spoke to this guy that was doing the childcare center, did you just tell him that this is what you were sort of
looking
for?
Yeah, so we have a mutual friend
and
he was looking for chippies to help do some stuff. And I said, righto. And then it kind of just naturally just became a thing.
Yeah.
And at the time I was trying to get my builder's license and they're like, mate, you say you've done all this stuff. How do we know? It's like, well, I'm telling you, you can talk to the homeowners if you want. Yeah. So that's not how it works. Yeah, no. Well, okay.
They literally want it done like a book.
Yeah. So then all I could do was get my supervisor ticket. Because when I first applied, I didn't even have my supervisor's license.
Yeah.
I didn't know. It's like, yeah, let's just submit it. See how we go.
Yeah.
So then they said, look, we can't give you your low rise builder's license, but we can give you the supervisor ticket. So,
yeah.
Something's better than nothing.
Yeah.
So then I had that. And that's when I did the 2 years or year and a half, 2 years for old mate. And that's, I kind of went, all right, now I fit the criteria. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And that was probably 7 years ago now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. It's crazy that journey. Like it was a kick in the guts. And like, I ended up having to go three times. Mm. I went three times. Yeah. First time, same thing. Did it.
Yeah.
Learned my lesson.
Yeah.
Went again. Mm-hmm. Nah. Then the third time around, I was like, okay, this is my, I literally said to my wife, like she's my girlfriend at the time. I said to Mara at the time, I was like, this is my last time. Like, I'm not going through this.
It's a cost you each time.
Yeah. And you got to fucking, you got to binder it all. Like, mine was like binded, laminated. Yeah. I had it all fucking job lit, nicely done. And I gave it in, like, I put it in a fucking big thing, drove in there, gave it to him. Like,
so, you know what's funny? So, I use obviously Master. There's a lady named Mary who used to work at Master Builder. So, she helped me get mine. She was awesome.
Yeah.
So, I went to them after my first time applying to them.
Yeah.
And she goes, show me what you sent to him. I gave her all this stuff, which was like similar to what you said, a big binder. And she goes, that's straight away why they knocked you back.
Yeah.
I was like, what do you mean? She said, you're giving them, you're supposed to fill out the form how they want it, no more, no less.
Yeah.
I said, so all this extra information, they don't want it. She's they don't want it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit, righto. So then she helped me get the second one done.
Yeah.
And then that's when they knocked me back and gave me my supervisor's ticket.
Yeah.
So same thing. I went for my third one is when I got it.
Yeah. And then when it comes in, guess what, guys? When you get your license, it's not like the money just starts dropping from the sky.
No.
It just means you're officially licensed to take more risk.
Yes. Yes. Basically. Yeah. Yeah.
That's literally what it is. Yeah. So you did that. What was this journey with JJ? Like at the start, did you have a few guys on? Were you just subbing for old mate? It was literally just you on an ABN, just subbing.
Yeah. So when I started like JJ contractors, because I had an ABN from like 2012, earlier than that.
Yeah.
So when I started a new one, which was JJ contractors, yeah. And I'd just do anything. Like,
yeah, everything. Yeah.
I was on HiPages. I had a few customers.
Then you realize HiPages take a fucking cut out of everything.
Well, yeah. Look, and
back then there was no Facebook marketplace, was there?
No, it was not marketplace. You had Gumtree, but you're battling with the unlicensed, and I'm not interested in that.
Yeah.
So then I had a few real estate connections there and just doing like whatever they wanted. So I remember going to people's houses and I want a colorbond fence here. Yep. Sweet. And they always do it. And she's like, oh, these hedges are a bit overgrown. It's like, oh, can you trim them? Yeah, I can trim them. No worries. So literally like just exactly anything it takes to make money, I would do.
Yeah.
And then I still remember my first job was a little office fit out for a mortgage broker.
Yeah.
And great guy. And it was like $8,000, maybe $9,000. And I was like, this is hectic.
Sick.
Like, this is my missus was freaking out. All like it was like, oh, what if we stuff it up? It's $9,000. Like
now
you're like looking back on, man, that's
nothing. Yeah.
It's It was good. I wouldn't change anything.
Yeah, I love that because it's literally through, exactly the same. Exactly the same.
A lot of hard times, but a lot of good ones too.
Yeah,
it just helps having good staff. You know, people that respect what you do and respect you, and you respect them. And customers like customers always like, man, your boys are great.
Yeah,
like it's the best thing you can hear. Yeah.
Yeah, man, I love this. This is going to be a good one. But it's like, so like exactly the same. I went down the same fucking route, like nearly word for word, same thing. HiPages, you know, I was doing stuff for real estate, strata, everything and everything under the sun. Like I had a ute and a trailer, you know, and tomorrow the same thing. We get a job for like three. I'd be like, oh my God, like this is sick. And then it would be like, oh, the risk. And then me and Tamara literally still sit down now and we like joke about when I used to stress about like a $2,500 payroll.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's how crazy it is. And like I used to like literally ring her and be like, fuck, I don't know how we're going to do it. This guy hasn't paid. But hey, it's just like, you know, that's part of the fucking journey, I guess.
And if you're not prepared, if you can't deal with that, look, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Man. Like there's been more times than I can probably ever remember where you're like, oh man, this is pretty full on. Like you get through it. Sometimes you just work hard, just head down, just get it done, man. You always get it done if you're prepared to work hard.
Yeah, you get it done. And I guess the other thing that we're sort of missing the point of as well is like, as you just mentioned, you took everything and everything under the sun. Like a lot of socials, a lot of people are pumping these days. You need to niche down. You need to find your fucking thing, right?
Yeah,
there was none of that. For me, there was no fucking niche.
Yeah.
My niche was making money. That was it. Like I was, I had my ute, my trailer, my tools, and I'd leave home at fucking 5 and I'd see how the day comes. You know what I mean? I'd literally take everything. I'd be at a job, as you said, I'd be doing concrete on a footpath and the guy would be like, oh, can you want to do a bit of, you know, grass out the back landscape? I'd be like, 100%. You know,
that's
what I mean?
Probably our biggest one, even still, because like we have, like 3-ton excavator, 1.7, and a 2.8-ton Bobcat.
Yeah.
So whenever we're doing something at the job, like, oh, why are you here? Do you reckon you could like dig this out? It's like, sweet. You were already there.
Yeah.
Like it's just like, I'll still say, like if they, hey, can you do this while you're here? Yeah, done. Like I'm always open to just
get 100%. It done.
Like just,
you don't want to leave any money on the table.
Well,
you know
it's
what
not
I mean?
Just that. You just want to give them the service they want. Okay. Yeah. Oh, it was great. He came in, helped us with doing all this stuff. And then then we asked for a favor. And he did that too.
Yeah.
It's like, I just want everyone to be, probably a bad thing too. Like, I just want everyone to just be stoked.
Yeah.
Like customers, staff, everyone, me. Usually the detriment of me. I'm the one not stoked about it.
Yeah.
But
like. Oh, this is being mad. What? This job's sick, boys. Yeah.
I like broke even. This is
in,
mad.
The boss is in his truck just like, fuck, we just built this massive house for nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, literally. So.
It's such a good job, boys.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you got to put a smile on and be like, oh, how good.
Yeah. Literally, man. Literally. So yeah, I don't know where we're up to. Then I probably just trailed off a bit.
No, that's fine. That's fine. So anyway, you were doing stuff for strata and that. Everything like that. So where are you guys at now, right? What are you guys doing primarily now? Have you guys niched down a little bit? Have you got a bit of a hole that you guys are focusing in on? Are you doing contracting stuff now? Are you primarily just doing builds?
Yeah. Like what's it? So again, to your whole niching down point is I had someone not long ago, hey, you need to pick your lane. Because we do like renos, extensions, new builds, you know, commercial stuff to an extent.
Yeah. Because you're out.
Jim Boomba way.
Yeah.
And but we're going to go everywhere.
Yeah.
I've been lucky. We get a lot of jobs out that way now, which is great.
Yeah.
And
I feel like it's time in the market too. The longer you stay there,
everyone wants acreage.
Yeah, exactly. The longer you stay in that market and the longer you are working in that area, that's how you really build out on that area.
Well, it's funny. For years, I was driving to like Kenmore, Chapel Hill, Paddington, doing all this work. I was like, man, I'd love to get some work out this way on like acreage where you can park wherever.
There's
no neighbors. There's no, you're not parking in front of wheelie bins. Like, you know what I mean? And then probably in the last, probably since COVID, I reckon, maybe just before COVID is when it started. People, there was value in what they already had and they could redraw and actually get something done to their house.
Yeah.
And since then, we've primarily worked out our way. Like, you know, we've got a few. We've got one in Pullenvale at the moment, which is the opposite end of the world. But we do Boona as well.
Yeah.
Like, we'll kind of go everywhere.
Yeah, sweet.
But no, we didn't niche down because, I don't know, I don't like to... I feel like some guys in COVID, the ones that got into real strife, is because they were only doing this.
Yeah.
Like we kind of go, we'll do renos, we'll do extensions, we'll do a new build, we'll do anything.
Yeah.
Anything that our license allows us to do, we'll do it.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, it's stressful and it's hard to manage and cost track and be accurate with that kind of stuff. Mm. But I feel like it gives you all your crew experience and everything, as well as you're always busy.
Yeah.
Like through COVID, like we had like 60 bathrooms to do at a holiday park.
Yeah, fuck.
You know, like if we said no to renos, then we probably would have been like looking for work or having to restructure a bit. Like,
nah, babe, yeah, well, that's can't make bills this month, but wait, we're niche down.
You know, but instead we had such strong contracts through it because we didn't niche down, I think.
Yeah.
So now we are like, we try to avoid doing the smaller renos now because as you would know, there's equal amounts of admin for a bathroom as there is for like a bigger reno.
Yeah. It's, you so know,
we really only do like, say for instance, like a bathroom reno. If a past customer of ours rings me, I'll do it.
Yeah.
But like if someone we've never worked with before wants a bathroom, I probably won't do it.
And I guess it also comes down to pipeline and stuff like that. Mm. Like you would know being a business owner, like for us, you know, as I said, I was talking to Kelly just outside a second ago about like, you know, there's no point us even tendering or pricing it or putting it in if we can't even do it in the timeline that we've got.
That's right.
So like that's sort of where we're at. But hey, if the job's starting in July next year,
of course,
we're open. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, hey, you want a little bathroom? You want you want that? Like 100%. Mm. Like the further ahead we can plan, the better the better chances you are getting it.
Yeah. So now we're primarily like major renos, like full house stuff or extensions as well as full renos.
Yeah.
Or since COVID and all the uncertainty of guys, you know, some of the bigger project builders going under and stuff, there was a lot of people coming back into the kind of smaller custom market and approaching us to do new builds, which we never really had because we weren't competitive with, you know, the big guys.
Yeah.
You know, 1,000 square meter. No way. Like we can't do that.
Yeah.
So we never pushed or chased new builds.
Yeah.
And then since everyone went broke and they will put the prices up, being realistic.
Yeah.
We've got a lot. I think we did like a big one on Lake Mugra. We're doing a big one in Pullenvale. We've got another two to do out there. And it's got a third one to do down the coast. Like going from 2-3 years ago, two years ago was our first new build.
Yeah.
From then, we're getting heaps of inquiries and interest in winning them and doing new builds, which is good. I much prefer new builds because there's no uncertainty. You know, you know what you're getting. Yeah. Not work. You reno, why, you pull a wall off and go, true, this is no
that's
good.
Why the biggest boys run it at such a skim margin. Yeah.
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 Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of where we're at now.
Yeah, that's good. So what does a crew look like at the moment?
So we got 4 full time. So I've got 3 full time tradies, 1 third year apprentice.
Yeah.
Then we've got 2 crews of subbies.
Okay.
That pretty much work with us 90% of the time.
Yeah, like when you need to like pick up.
Like, yeah, like we have one crew. Like bulk it out, he's worked with us full time for about 3 years basically.
Yes.
As a subby crew.
Yep.
And then we've got another crew that came on to come and do frames and stuff when we need a hand.
Yeah.
And then I've got an operations manager, a site supervisor, and then my Mrs. Joe does all the admin stuff.
Sweet. Yeah. So when did you That's where you're at now. And a lot of guys that are probably listening, they're thinking, oh, this is mad. You know what I mean? You're doing all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Right. But we're obviously missing all the nuts and the bolts and the ups and the downs and all in between. And we don't have 6 hours in the day to talk about it. But it's so talk to us from the start when you were still just subbing and it was just you doing, you know, as you said, strata, whatever.
Yeah.
Did you go through, you know, what were some of the cornerstone moments where you were sort of like, all right, I need to actually not. Like for me, I'm going to say take it seriously. Everyone took business seriously, but there was a big cornerstone moment for me, you know, getting an office and having people that rely on me.
Yep.
That was a bit of a moment for me where I was like, okay, we're no longer just myself and a ute fucking towing it around Brizzy. I've now got an actual business that is providing for my family. Like what was that sort of moment for you? Like did you have guys with you and did you have heaps of guys? Did you have to crunch it back down to bring in office staff?
I started out, we hired one guy's mature apprentice who came as like a referral through like a really good family friend.
Mm.
And he was awesome. He was with us for like 8 years. Like he only left like 2 years ago.
Oh, yes.
And basically it was him and I. And then we had another guy who kind of came in and out when we needed him. Then he came on full time.
Yeah.
Still didn't have an office back then. I think that would have been probably 3 years in, I reckon, is when, so probably in probably near the end of the second year of us being a business when I hired the first guy. And then early in the following, we hired the third guy, second guy, sorry.
Yeah.
And then I was just operating off a laptop, like a small, I got it on Grays Online. Like it was like an old auction laptop. It was tiny.
Yeah.
And then, but that worked at the start.
That's it.
And then,
isn't it funny how you look back in those days, like I got a photo of me on an IKEA desk and I look back and I'm like, how the fuck did I make this work? Like,
yeah. It's just a flat surface and something to type on.
That
right?
was it. Yeah.
So then, I ended up hiring like a long-term hire, like a donger, put it home. Cause like we live on 1 acre, we've got a little bit of room there, just put a donger there. And that was my office, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I had that for like 3 years.
Mm.
And then I found myself, all I was doing is I'd work, like leave home at 5 a.m., get home at 6 p.m., have dinner. And at that time I had two kids.
Yeah.
My daughter was three. My son was just born.
Yeah.
And then, I was spending all night in the office.
Yeah.
I was there till like 2:30 in the morning, punching out quotes, replying to emails, sending out quote requests, whatever.
Yeah.
Then waking up at 5 and doing it all again.
Yeah. So a lot of people talk about either. Like I got two girls and it's the same. Yeah. Like where not a lot of people talk about that fucking strain that it can put on your partner, on yourself. You know what I mean? It's not all fucking roses,
well, it's
man.
It's really
like
not. And it wasn't good. Like because my son, like he was, didn't really know who I was and to, you know, for the first couple of years, because like he'd probably see me for like 30 minutes of the day.
Yeah.
And it's terrible. And then like weekends I'd work, Saturdays, Sundays. Yeah. Obviously you see him, you hang out with your kids, but that's not enough time to hang out with your family. So we did that for a few years at home. And then I had to just not have a computer at home.
Yeah.
I still don't. I don't have a computer at home anymore.
Yeah.
We moved to an office and I started sharing with the cabinet maker that I was working with down at Yatla. That was good. Just had a separation.
How good was that?
So
that separation.
If you emailed me after, unless it was quick and I could do it on my phone, you would not get a response until the next day because I had to.
Yeah.
It was just killing me and just, you weren't present ever. You're always just constantly, oh, I should have got a remote lacquer. I was ducked down the office and do it.
Yeah.
It wasn't good.
All right, guys. Congratulations. You're halfway through this episode. I hope you guys are really enjoying it. But first, I just want to make a special thank you to Ideal Group Australia. Without them, I wouldn't be able to bring this podcast to you. So special thank you. I hope you guys are enjoying it. Buckle in and get ready to listen to the end of this episode.
Yeah. So even though you had the office at home and you're like, oh, it's going to be right, babe. Like, look at it. Yeah. You were still, it was just, you would, you know, she'd go to sleep and then you'd think, oh, I could just park myself
out,
in there for
slip,
fucking.
Exactly. Slip out and.
It's 11 p.m.
Yeah. It's just, it was bad.
Yeah.
Like you got a lot of work done, but like. You forgot things.
Yeah.
You'd miss a quote and go, oh my God, how did I not?
But then you feel gassed the next day.
Yeah,
and then
you're tired.
Then your wife would be like, oh, you're never present.
Yep.
And then you'd be fucking hating yourself. Then you'd be like, oh, should I throw it all in? You know what I mean? It's, is this even worth it? Fucking.
Yeah, it was hard. So like definitely the best thing I did was get an office. The first time sharing with him was great because we shared the rent.
Yeah.
Like it was manageable, wasn't that much money.
Yeah.
And having no computer at home was the best thing I think I've ever done.
Yeah.
Because you need to just, you know, but I should rephrase that. Early on, you need to do whatever it takes to
exactly.
get it going.
Like, it's not like, go ahead and get an office as soon as you get an
When you get to a point and you've got, you can afford the office and you can afford to not take on every single job that comes your way, you need the separation because it'll just ruin you.
Yeah, it was a game changer for me. Mm. Like, and I remember sitting back and we were throwing out the same ideas. My father-in-law said, because we're out of Jim Boomba as well.
Yeah.
He goes to me, oh, do you want to you know, put a shed on his block and then I'll just go there or put a little thing in the back of our house and go there. And lucky enough, I got a few guys around me and they said, no, get something that's like about half an hour to 40 minutes away. Don't get it where it's 5 minutes away or 10 minutes away.
Too close.
Get it. Yeah. Get it where it's. And I was always like, that doesn't make fucking sense. You know what I mean? I want to be. They're like, do it. So but fast forward to now.
Yeah.
You know, now I realize 18 months later, I realize I'm like, okay, because now the office is just far enough where it's fucking annoying for me to get to.
But as it rode the way home,
but
it sucks.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's far enough that I can't just pop in. Like, I don't just want to pop in on a Saturday or Sunday because it's a fucking pain in the ass.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But it's close enough that I can still obviously get there. Like, it's a commute. But
you know, going back to where we were saying, because I used to do the same thing. I used to sit down from 6 p.m. to 11. You know, my wife was pregnant at the time. Fuck, you know, oh yeah, get a heaps done.
Hmm.
But now I've learned the art of like, even though if I'm only in the office for 6-7 hours, yeah, I'll still get 12 hours worth of work done.
Yeah.
Because I feel the drive. I feel more motivated. Yeah. Where when I was sitting behind the desk at 8 p.m. at night, I'd be
procrastinating.
You know, thinking about, oh fuck, what am I gonna do tomorrow? Yeah, you know what I mean? Fucking around. So yeah, it's the same thing. And that was like a massive game changer for me. And it was just like, I just, you know, some days I'll take my laptop home if I know that I need to be at home for some reason. But you know, the days that I leave my laptop here, same. If the email can be quickly responded on my phone, sweet. If it can't, I'm leaving it for the next day. Yeah.
If it So like, I only recently bought a laptop, I think about 3 months ago. I didn't even have a laptop.
Yeah.
I was like, nah, like work is at work. And like, I had like an iPad style thing, but you really can't.
Oh, you
do
had
that.
Like a full desktop. Yeah.
Yeah. I had like a desktop computer.
You could not bring it home.
No, no. Like, it was like staying there.
Unplugging it.
And then,
that's good.
So I had like this little tablet, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But you're really restricted what you could do on it.
Yeah.
So then, literally probably, 3 months ago, I went and bought a laptop. Yeah. But it rarely, like, it'll either stay at the office or it stays in the car.
Yeah.
It doesn't. And I think in the last 3 months, there's been a couple of times I've caught myself getting it out. I'm like, what am I doing? This is the whole reason why I didn't bring a computer home. You're starting to do it again.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to just keep on it and not work at home anymore. Because I have 3 kids now.
Kudos to you and your wife. Yeah. And we're currently in talks at the moment about the third and all this sort of stuff. But hey, it's crazy.
How old are the two?
Young, man. So like, I got a 2.5-year-old and like a 6.5-month-old.
Yeah. Man, so it's chaos still. Yeah. Oh, bro, a 3-year-old would be fine.
We're wiping. Oh,
sorry, a third child.
Yeah, we're always like, as I say to all the boys, my other full time job is just wiping asses. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, I go home, nappies. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm right in the thick of it.
Yeah.
But because the first, like, our first two girls are so close.
Yeah.
I don't know anything better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everyone talks about...
It's chaos. Yeah.
Listen, guys, we're about to get off track here on this little thing, all right?
Sorry.
We're going to talk about fatherhood. But hey, I always say, like, me and my wife, we sit in bed and we talk about it. And I'm like, isn't it funny? You hear some of these people, and I don't know, you might be the opposite, but a lot of our friends and stuff are getting pregnant and that, and they're, you know, first kid and that, and they're like, oh, fucking sleep shit, this, that, and the other. I'm up all night, blah, 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 blah. I'm exhausted. Like, don't get us wrong. The first one is a fucking punch in the face.
Yeah,
right?
It's a wake-up.
The second one, hey, it's been a breeze. Like, because we didn't have that transition where we were going, fuck, I can't even remember the last time I had an 8-hour sleep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was, you know, we didn't have that, like, oh, get him out of our room, and then we were back to 8 hours, and then oh, boom! All of a sudden, we new baby again.
Yeah.
Where we were just fucking.
Yeah. It was chaos.
Yeah. It's been chaos for the last like 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, little I guess advice for you: 2 is 2, and 3 is 10. Is what Mrs. says. Like, it just everything is just times 10.
Oh,
like,
we're getting there. We are literally getting there now. Yeah. Like, she's learning. It's so funny. Like, we go to the shops and that, and I see Charlie sometimes, and I'm like, where did she even learn that? You know what I mean? She's crossing her arms, walking around.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck is going on right now?
Yeah,
I was like, did she, like, what is going on? And she has learned this, like, she doesn't say yes anymore. She goes, mm-hmm.
Uh-huh,
yeah. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, I got a 12-year-old.
But anyway,
oldest is 12.
Yeah.
So she's high school next year.
Yeah. But, hey, staring. That's literally my life at the moment is fucking baby season. So it's crazy. But, hey, kudos to you guys for the 3 and the businessman. Like, not a lot of guys go down that path of having 3 kids and having their own business with your wife and all that sort of stuff. That's a massive fucking deal.
Very lucky Joe does. Yeah. As far as, like, parenting and even looking after all the kids while I work, she's done, like, everything.
Yeah.
She is, like, the most important part of the business and our lives, like 100,000%.
Yeah,
like
it's
wouldn't
crazy.
Work without her.
Yeah,
that's she's the other Jay. That's why it's JJ, like John and Joe. Like it's always
I always say to Tamara, like, she sometimes feels like she doesn't play a massive part, you know, in the day to day stuff.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to inundate her with like the day to day shit.
Of course,
because she's right in the thick of it. Our kids aren't like off her at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I always say to her, man, like she's got like the most important job. Like, I consult with her about the bigger decisions.
Yeah.
Like,
the stuff you're not sure on. Yeah.
100%. Mm. Stuff I'm not sure on, the big stuff. Like, is this something that we actually want to see through?
Yeah, yeah.
Because if we do, it's going to be a fucking ride.
Or you know, if it doesn't go well,
exactly. You know what I mean? These are the big things. And when the paperwork's there that needs, then the dotted line needs to be signed, she has to sign it as well.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's what I always say to her. But as they always, like, they don't always feel like they're part of it, and they're not always the one that's getting the shine and all that sort of stuff. So I do try my best. And as you would know, man, it is a fucking hard.
It is.
It is hard sometimes. But hey, they've definitely got the hardest job. All right. Here we go. Let's keep fucking traveling on. I hope you guys enjoyed that little bit of fatherhood talk too. That was a little bit off topic. So I like that. All right. So talk to us now about, you know, you've got a few guys. You said you got one apprentice.
Yeah.
So talk to us about the common occurrence that you've found in the industry with getting qualified guys and getting apprentices. Have you had more apprentices before? Have you had issues with apprentices? Because this is something that we go through quite regularly, you know, and I started to talk a little bit about it before we jumped on camera about like my experiences and why I think this generation is getting a bad rap, because that's a massive thing that's happening at the moment. We're getting an industry shortage of trades and it's becoming worse and worse, and guys are getting in and then getting out just as fast as they're getting in.
Yeah.
You know, so how you talked about how it was hard to get an apprenticeship. I feel like the tables are turning now where it is easier to get an apprenticeship.
Yeah.
But because it's easier as well, that the guys that are getting in, they're just getting in to get in. They don't really.
I've had one other apprentice before, and he was a good kid. He got up to like second year, and then unfortunately, you know, he got caught drink driving and lost his license for an extended period of time. And we kept him on as long as we could, driving him to work, that kind of stuff, to a point where we just couldn't keep doing it. Like, you can't be a third year with no tools, no car, and we're driving you to work. So, you know, he didn't work. So he got that, and, you know, he moved on. And I kind of just, I was a little bit done with young guys. As bad as it sounds,
we have a few guys that are like that.
I was just like, man, I've got kids at home. I really don't want kids at work. Like, tradesmen usually have a family. Yeah. They've got a mortgage. They've got things that they need to turn up and they have to pay for. So they need to come to work. You know, you don't want young guys who don't really care. They'll just get on the piss, turn up and be half a person on Monday.
There's no responsibility.
No. Well, they don't, you know, they're just there to, you know, fill the day in as far as they're concerned, right? So I guess I am about to potentially put on another young fella who's actually the younger brother of my other apprentice.
Well, that's all right.
He doesn't know that yet. So if he watches that, then he's going to figure that out.
That's all right. This will be coming out.
This
will be coming out. So maybe, we'll see.
So, but in terms of finding guys, I've always been lucky. And I know it's been real hard for some guys. We've either had people reach out to us or like just through like mutual connections. Hey, man, you're looking for another chippy. I've got a mate who just left a guy or whatever. And it's always just organically been like that. I tried putting ads out and I just lost it. Paid all this money for Seek and I had like
the opposite
of carpenters.
10,000 Brazilians coming out as TAFE. And what is this thing, man?
When we did it, it was around COVID. You know, when they're getting all their payments, they have to show they're applying for jobs.
Yeah.
We had like forklift drivers and shit. And the thing says you need to be a chippy. Not one of them was a carpenter. We were paying $300.
I've only recently, in the last probably 2-3 years, opened my eyes to this whole thing that the government, I didn't even know that it was a thing, but they brought in this thing where foreigners can come out from overseas, mainly, you know, Colombia and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, they can become a carpenter. They can get a Cert 3 in carpentry with no on-site experience.
How do they do that?
They go through like TAFE or Skills Tech or whatever it is.
Oh, okay.
And they basically do everything in the warehouse or wherever it is at Acacia Ridge. And they basically stay in there for 1.5 to 2 years straight.
Right.
All study, all the stuff, but no on-site experience. And I didn't even know this was a thing until I got a guy. He sent me Certificate 3 and everything seemed fine. Yeah. And he come on site. And I remember I had him on site one day and this was back when I was on the tools. And I just remember saying to him, like at the end of the day, I'm like, you got on-site experience? No. I'm like, but you said you've been doing it for 1.5 to 2 years. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, it was all
one
thing. And I was like, what the fuck? So, like, I, like, looked into it and I was like, oh, this apparently that's what the government's offering. That's their way.
To try to boost,
boosting the fucking, the hole that we've got. And I'm like, if anything, it's doing the opposite. It's damaging it even further.
I didn't know that. I didn't know.
So just be careful. Just be careful. Obviously,
guess everyone who's ever come with us is like, hey, look, I'll come do a Saturday for free.
Yeah.
Or even I don't like anyone working for free, and I always pay them anyway.
Yeah.
But like,
it's the mentality.
They're offering to do it for free, which is straight away that's a tick. Yeah. You know, they're happy to give their Saturday to me for free.
Yeah.
For me to potentially go, nah, no good, mate. Yeah. And they still gave me work. They gave me something.
Yeah.
So I've never really had to look that hard So I haven't really come across people like that,
yeah.
which I'm glad because I know some guys really struggled to get carpenters
yeah.
and we're just really lucky.
Yeah.
But it's just, they've just kind of, we've been lucky.
Touching back on that pay thing, I've been absolutely fucking ridiculed online for this.
I know.
But it's like...
get me involved in this shit.
But it's like, it's basically, it comes back down to like, you know, it has nothing to do with you not wanting to pay them. Mm. And I always, it's funny, I say to my wife and to some of the guys when we're bringing new guys in, mm-hmm. you know, I usually know just from the conversation over the phone, if within the first 5 minutes, if they haven't mentioned pay, the hours that they're going to work, what they can and can't do, if they're just literally saying, hey, I'm keen, I love what you guys are doing, I want to be a part of it, blah, 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 blah. When I get them on, so obviously they're still going to get paid as per fucking fair work and all the other shit that comes with it, they're going to be paid. But if they haven't mentioned anything like that, I usually know that they're going to be the ones that are going to work out.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Because it comes down to it comes down to their attitude and, you know, that what their actual driving point is, you know. But then on the flip side, I've had guys ring me and they'll be like, hey, mate, yep, super keen to come on. Hey, so before we go, like, what are you actually paying? You know what I mean? Like, I haven't even met you. Yeah. I don't know anything about you.
Yeah.
Nothing, you know. And then if I tell them like, oh, this is our entry rate that we're paying like as per the award. Oh, nah, can't do that, mate. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? I'm getting fucking 65 an hour at the moment doing what I'm doing.
That's good money. Like
whatever. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm like, well, fucking stay there then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't offer you that. So,
but
that's been my fucking experience.
I guess probably similar to us. Like, I'll always ask them, like, if they ring me and go, hey, look for a job, cool. It's just like, what are you expecting? Like, managing expectations, let's not waste either of our time.
Mm.
You know, but they usually, again, maybe I'm just super lucky. Mm. Everyone who's called me has been realistic, you know, in what the rate they're expecting and what they're looking around. I'm like, I can work with that. Let's come out. If you fit in with the boys and you do good work, man, happy to give you a start.
And isn't it funny when you're employing, it becomes less about performance and more about the attitude, trustworthiness and all that sort of stuff.
Like, especially when we still do like renos where people live in or have all their stuff there. Like, my biggest fear was like, imagine hiring a guy who just seems awesome, and then he like stole something from something. Like, it just, like, I'm just,
some clients out there, for you guys, and I've worked on in some people's homes, right? Doing renters and that, they will leave cash on the table, coins in a fucking thing. Like, hey, do not.
Yeah.
Like, I have never fucking done
it. No.
But I know that there are some sleaze guys out there. Oh, man, take it. But it's a fucking trick.
Yeah. Man, and I'm sorry. Like, we have such a good crew. Yeah. Like, even all our subbies, like, most, probably 90% of our subbies have worked with me from the start.
Yeah. That's good.
Like, I know them personally before I even started a business.
Yeah.
And all of them will just do anything. They're such nice guys. Like, they'll do anything for customers, for us. It's just a good, like, community we got. And I know you can leave 10 grand on the bench. There's not a dollar will go missing from that with any of our guys or subbies in your house.
Yeah. And that's the culture that you obviously built as well. You know what I mean? That doesn't just happen.
Yeah.
Like, and that's something that I've learned as well. And I tell my guys, like, culture and the way that a company holds themselves and people come in and work in, it doesn't just automatically happen.
Yeah.
You know, you might think that it does, but at the end of the day, it's you. You've set the example, how you communicate with your crew, how you are with your crew, and, like, you know, culture. Like, how do you usually generate culture and stuff like that with the boys? Are you on site with them a lot of the time? Do you do like yearly things with them?
Yeah,
and stuff
so
like
we
that?
I'm not like a. I like to think I'm a nice boss. Like, I don't like, I'm not. I don't come in and yell and scream.
Me
and
you both.
Like, it's rare. Like, if someone really did something dumb, disappointing, or just flat out didn't do what I asked them to do, I don't yell at them. They just be like, oh man, like.
It takes a lot.
I felt like I really spent time explaining this to you, and you've done this. Now I've got to pay you again to fix it. Yeah. And even still, I've never made anyone fix anything out of their own pocket. I've always paid them.
Me too. Never.
So because, you know, it's a mistake. I make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. And in terms of culture, I just try to be nice. And if anyone needs anything, they can always ring me and I'll like help them wherever I can. Like, you know, if they needed to borrow our machines for something at home, no worries. Like, if you can't tell it, I'll drop it off.
Yeah, all sweet. Good. Yeah.
And then we take, at Christmas time, we take everyone away and Mrs. is included and put them up for the night and we take them to dinner. And that's kind of the only real do we do during the year.
That's all right.
I'd like to do more.
Yeah.
But it's just like, even you might be the same. You go, we'll put aside this Friday and we'll do something. And then all of a sudden,
yeah,
it just doesn't happen. Busy. You just can't make it happen.
For us, it's, we're like, we've sort of just now found like it's a non-negotiable, and like we communicate it well with the sites or clients or whatever we're on. We say, hey, listen, we're not here. This is what we got on, and this is, it comes down to obviously
that's a good idea. I should probably start doing.
And we just, but we plan like for instance, next year I've already got all the ones next year already in the schedule.
So what do you do? Like, what do you go and do?
It changes, man. So every we do quarterly. So I do our actual process is I do one-on-one PR, so performance reviews.
Yep.
It's not a pay review for you guys to listen. It's not a bonus that you get every fucking quarter or anything like that. It's sheer on performance. How are you going? You know, we go through general sort of stuff.
Yeah.
For any of you guys that want to jump on with Ideal, that's how you do it. But anyway, yeah, so we do that, and I just basically, it's just a one-on-one because as we grow now and we got more guys, 14, 15 guys, it's hard for me, as you are well aware, when you go to fucking site and you say, hey, Johnny, how are you, mate? He's going to turn around and go, yeah, good, mate. How's the kids? Yeah, good. That's it.
That's it, yeah.
That's the communication.
Yeah.
He's not going to sit down and say, oh, yeah, now I'm struggling financially. I've got this. I've got that. Guns are flying. Material's going everywhere. Yeah. They're under the pump. It's raining. It's hot. Yeah. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
So I just knew that that was going to be the case, and I was going to lose touch off site. So I implemented every quarter, I sit down, we do a PR, and then every quarter after I've done all the performance reviews, because that's how I gauge, you know, who's lacking and all that sort of stuff, and I, you know, the common occurrences that I need to be well aware of, because I just don't know, you know. The guys all talk. When we employ now, it's a completely different thing. I don't sell it. I don't do a pitch, anything. I just say to them, go work with the boys.
Yeah.
And all the questions that you've got in your head, how I am, how the company is, et cetera, et cetera, ask them because you're going to ask them anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So I just say, go there and ask them, and I'll let them do the selling.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you're going to ask them. So that's usually how we work it now. So we do that, and then we basically run a quarterly day. So our quarterly day changes. I never make it around alcohol. I never make it around, you know, because every Friday the boys can go to the pub and they can sink beers and slap the pokes for all they want. I don't care. That's what they do, right? Yeah, that's fine. I was there as well.
Yeah.
That's what they want to do every Friday. I do not care. Go for it.
Yeah.
But when we come for the team days, that's not our focus. Yeah. After the team days, if you guys want to go to the pub, 100%. Yeah. But I'm not coming.
Yeah, right.
So I do Christmas time. I have a drink with them and that.
Yeah.
But basically, yeah. So our quarterly team days, you know, next year's have changed. But this year's, it's basically like we do – you know, we do like breath work, and we do like a bit of leadership stuff. Yep. And it's usually around like the one just gone, we did like a virtual reality, like race simulator with all the guys.
Yeah.
Still no drinking. There was beers there. Some guys did, but that wasn't our focus.
Yeah.
Where I've worked in companies in the past, and it's always the focus to, oh, let's go to the pub and have a beer.
I think it's the icebreaker for a lot of guys. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just wanted to, that's the culture that I wanted to implement. And I wanted to break that foundation and just like, we can all have a conversation without that.
Yeah.
You know, same thing. Every team day, we come in here and I run a meeting for about an hour with everyone.
Yeah.
All right. No beers. There's nothing.
Yeah.
If we're eating beforehand. No one's eating or anything.
Yeah.
For everyone's attention. Because I used to work for a company and they used to do monthly meetings and called like whatever. But it was always like beers on a Friday. Like you're not fucking listening. All you're worrying about is whether you and Johnny, when you guys can fucking clock out so you can go to the pub. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was just the things that I've implemented, man. And then obviously we do that through the year, and then we have our Christmas party. Yep. So this year is going to be our probably biggest one to date.
Yep.
And so that's how we've managed culture. And it's a constant fucking battle, man.
Yeah.
It's a constant battle.
I think it's not something I've consciously tried.
Mm.
Like you said before, you kind of, even without knowing you're doing it, you're probably doing it.
Yeah,
I guess I haven't haven't done what you're doing, like your quarterly things. And look, probably something everyone I can look into, right?
Yeah,
and but no, I guess to answer your question, if I'm on site much, like I just kind of turn up.
Yeah.
Like I'll go, hey, I'm coming in the morning, we're gonna go through this and that.
Yeah.
So we're gonna do it. And then most of the time I've got like six places to go, and then I go to the office and do what you gotta do. Or I still operate all our machines. Like I'm doing the slab preps, I'm doing everything. Like the first site cuts, like I'm doing that.
Yeah.
So I've always got something to do because I have this thing which I don't know if I'm not even like before, if I was at the office and I was like, wasn't just going ham, I'm like, I'm not doing enough. Like everyone's outside working, fucking do more.
You feel guilty.
So even to this day, like the amount of, I think, time I've taken a weekday and gone and done something with Joe and the kids or whatever, I could count on one hand because I just feel terrible. Like, I just can't do it. It's so bad. Like, I should be able to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's guilt, man. And this is like, I've been on the same path yeah. this year. You know, I'm a lot better with it now. We touched on it in the last episode yeah. as well. But, yeah, like the guilt that you have as a business owner when you transition from being on site 40 hours a week
yeah.
to then being in the office or in a machine, whatever you want to, yeah. whatever, right? It's a guilt that you carry. It's yeah. not like your family doesn't know about it. You know, your guys on site really don't know about it. And to yeah. be honest, they don't actually fucking care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, so I've definitely, and how I've managed that is I've just come to the realization that at the end of the day, I'm the one risking it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Me, my wife, and my kids,
yeah.
we're the ones that are risking everything every day. Mm. Payroll every week. As long as my guys are getting paid and the pipeline's full, I have done my job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I sit with that very well. As long as I've got consistent work, everyone's getting paid, including the ATO. Everyone's super. Yeah. Payroll, yeah. The business is growing. We're bringing in new leads. We're getting new work. If all those bases are covered,
mm-hmm.
I'm doing well. The yep. job's done. And not every week's all the same,
mm-hmm.
but that's how I've been able to swallow the guilt in regards to, you know, feeling that fucking pain of like, yeah, because the same thing, man. When I made that transition, if I wasn't either in the office or on site and if I didn't like do 40 hours a week, say if I cut my week short and I was like, oh, I'm going to take off Friday to yeah. go do something with my kids,
yep.
I'd be on Friday, I'd be like, oh, should be doing yeah. something, yeah. you know yeah. what I mean? Like, but then yeah. my guys, thankful enough, I've got a mad team,
mm.
they all know,
yeah.
you know what I mean? They all know that I risk the biscuit all
yeah.
the time.
Yep.
I'm doing it. And as long as they're getting paid, the jobs are coming in and they're loving work and I'm, as I said, building in on the culture, this is coming back to why I do the performance reviews and stuff like that. And I have found massive dividends in doing that.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a massive game changer for us. Was it awkward the first couple? 100%.
Yeah.
It's always awkward yeah. on the first few.
Yeah.
But how I used to word it to the guys is it gives them that opportunity to get the one-on-one with me they
yeah.
want.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because otherwise,
they probably won't do it.
I'm going to lose them. You know what I mean? They're just going to rock up every day. No one listens to me. I can't speak to my leading hand. I can't do this. Yeah. I can't do that. They just yeah. fuck go through the mundane tasks that everyone goes through.
Mm-hmm.
Where like I say to them, be real with me. Tell me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're not making enough money, fucking tell me.
Well, it's interesting to hear, right? Like yeah. it's something that I guess anyone listening who like me doesn't do that.
Yeah.
To potentially start doing it. Think or you about know, or even it. Just
you don't have taking to make the it time. A formal thing. Nah, you know
or just
mean?
Speak, pull them aside, yeah. have a chat. Everything good? Yeah. I do try to see, like, if yeah. someone's looking, you can tell when yeah. someone's like,
oh, 100%.
You got something going yeah, on. Your home. Is everything yeah. all good? And yeah. they usually go, oh, this has happened. You go, man, like, yeah. if you need the day off, just
yeah.
take the day off. Like, I'd yeah. rather you go and sort what you need to sort. Yeah. If there's anything, like, it doesn't. Yeah. Like,
I literally started, this is how I started doing them initially. I just started, I found the closest coffee shop to the job.
Yeah.
And I would just say, I'd take one guy off that site.
Yeah.
I'd just say, hey, and I put it in my calendar. I'd yeah. say I'd schedule it weeks ahead.
Yeah.
And I'd say, I'll meet you at the coffee shop at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
That was it.
Okay.
It was only smoko time.
Yeah.
But it was a spot that I knew that no one else was going to go.
Yeah.
It was off the job site. So yeah. no one could see them and talk to them or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's how I just did it. And then yeah, okay. it clicked to me. After I did that a few times, I used to get text messages from the guys. Hey, mate, really appreciate the talk this afternoon. Yeah, okay. Thanks heaps. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And right, okay. I was just like, I sat back and I was like, all right, this is actually good. Like the guys like it. Same with the team days. The boys always message me after them, even though they are fucking weird and quirky and it's usually awkward, like Nick's been them and sometimes they're awkward, but it is what it is, man.
Doing
like
the breathwork, Nick,
eh? Oh, yeah. Like we were there in the park, like literally right here, ice baths.
Yeah.
Like it was winter, I think, too. Well, it was absolutely freezing. I'm doing that again next year, though. I'm probably going to bring it forward to the start of the year so it's a little bit warmer. But, yeah, like that was super weird.
Yeah.
But the guys all bought into it
yeah.
and that all, I feel like it's one of those things. It's like a snowball. Once the culture's set
yeah.
and starts rolling, everyone else buys into it because now we're getting new guys in. And
they want the ice pass.
Yeah, and I've mentioned to them. And then all the boys get around. They're like,
yeah.
oh, you better be doing it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, you better fucking be there. Oh, like, yeah. So they're yeah. all sort of buying into it. And, but yeah, that's been
a massive journey for me. How we sit with Nick.
Oh, good. Oh, we're going good. Yeah. So, all right. Now, this has been actually a really, really good talk. Right, the best ones are always the ones where they just sort of dwindle off a little bit.
Yeah, just derail.
That's it. Yeah. All right. So, talk to us now about some of the challenges you've had. You know, do you run a supervisor? You said that you have an operations manager and yep. stuff like that.
Yep.
Right.
Have you ever had any issues? Have you built them from within, or did you hire them in into those roles?
The supervisor I have, he is one of my best. Like I've known him since grade one.
Yeah,
and I tried poaching him as a carpenter for forever.
Okay,
right, and he's like, no, didn't want to work for friends. And
what was he doing at that?
He's like, a chippy.
Yeah, but what was he doing?
He was like, commercial, more kind of car yard sort of stuff.
Yeah,
and tried for years at every bar because you just come you can just. And then
it'll be mad.
He eventually come over, and it was it's great. He's good. He's everyone gets along with him. Like customers love him. Everything it's scheduled. It's good. It's what you want in a supervisor.
Yeah.
If something needs to be done, he'll still throw the nail bag on and do it.
Yeah.
Which is perfect, right? So that came again as an organic thing. I already knew him. And then the ops guy, we kind of worked together through other projects. He was a project manager elsewhere. And then he kind of didn't like some aspects of project management.
Yeah.
And he really thrives in the back end and kind of like making everything just work. So we kind of talked about it for 3 years.
Yeah.
We worked together for 3 years when he worked at this other company.
Yeah.
And then he come over and he kind of just wears, we call him operations manager, but he wears multiple hats.
It can be anything.
He kind of just
say to the guys, you can
anything that it's just like a thing you put on the employment contract, exactly, right? But anything that needs done internally in the company, he can do it.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's taken so much, like, man, so much of the little tasks that take you like an hour.
Yeah.
But you got six of them, that's 6 hours.
Yeah.
He does it.
Yeah.
In one day.
Oh, that's what I say to you know, admin and stuff like that. Like the admin for me was a fucking game changer.
Yeah.
And it can be the most minuscule task. But I always say to him, even if it's like a 15-minute job, that 15-minute job actually takes me fucking an hour.
Yeah.
Well, not because I'm a retard.
Your phone rings,
but it's just because I got this on my mind. I got to do this. I got to do that. So yeah, it was a game changer. But isn't it funny that no one actually talks about, when you're a business owner, no one talks about, we've just missed the main thing. But like for me, the biggest issue is, not the biggest issue, but the thing, biggest thing I had to overcome was, not only is it a job role, but you're actually creating like a new person. How they're going to sit in the business? What are they going to do? Tasks that they're going to do? You know, it was a massive thing that I had to learn, and it was like, no one fucking.
I did.
Like I did. I always just thought, because when you're an employee and you go for a supervisor's role at a big company, it's all just there. It's generated.
Just what you got
to
do.
New thing. Like I always say to my, I used to joke with Tamara and be like, oh, we're looking to, you know, bring in this.
Yeah.
But the back end stuff, all the systems and processes, all the fucking guidebooks and everything like that that I had to implement, it was like, you know, now that's set in stone, it's a lot easier. But there was no rule book.
I did struggle at the start for keeping the ops manager, giving him tasks. I was like, oh no, that's not ops. I can't give him that. I'll still do that.
Yeah.
And I was, before I knew it, I was just still taking on most of the shit stuff.
Mm.
So then he was just shadowing me. I get the office, he'd jump in the car with me, he'd just follow me around.
Mm.
And the phone would ring, he'd take notes. Yeah. He was just like, anything it took, he'd be a PA for the day if it's what I needed. And it's like, I'm grateful for it because, you know, we'll be driving, you probably know this, someone rings you, you get righto, and you're trying to like think of the plans in your head where you're driving. While he's there, he's got his laptop open, we pull over, the plans are up. Like,
yeah,
it's just little things like that that helps so much.
Game changer,
and then we progress and go, okay, well, you can do this. And we gave him a role more so. Because at the start, he just come in and said, what can I do?
Yeah. It's constantly changing. Even Kelly, our estimator, right? Role's constantly changing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He does this, does that, and it's consistent. It's like, well, what is the role? I don't fucking know, mate.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean?
What's
I haven't
doing?
Had yeah. I haven't had an estimator before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Give me 5-10 years, the role will be fucking established. And then when we hire a new estimator, I'll be like, this is the role.
Yeah, yeah.
But until then, we're making it as we go, you know what I mean? With a bit of guidance and stuff like that. So, yeah, no, sweet. All right. Well, we're getting towards the end of it. It's gone like that. I told you at the start.
Yeah.
It goes real fast.
Yeah, it does,
when you're just yapping. But, yeah, man, tell us a little bit about, like, what's your future plans? Where are you guys envisioning going, you know, obviously, as everyone's well aware, builders, they love to transition into developers and all this other jazz. Has that been something on your mind, or are you happy just staying where you're at?
Bigger crew. I don't want to get any bigger crew wise.
Yeah.
I like where we're at. I know we can accomplish a lot of work every year.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get any bigger than that.
Yeah.
But I am going to scale back on as the amount of customer jobs we do.
Okay.
Like everyone, a lot of builders do the same thing. You know, I've heard it multiple times on your podcast where they go, we're going to start doing more for ourselves.
Yeah.
Buying this, knocking it, building, or splitting and building two. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're in the process of doing, I should say.
Yeah.
Because we do pick and choose who we work for now because we're lucky enough we can.
Yeah.
Like we built up enough of a, I guess, I don't know what you call it.
It just takes time.
Yeah. Like you just
doesn't happen overnight.
Do your best for a long period of time and people find out about you, basically. Yeah. And so we're going to pick and choose a bit more, not harshly, but really think about who we're going to work with
100%.
For next year.
You're going to vet the.
Basically, from January next year, we're not going to do as many customer jobs as we are now.
Yeah.
And that's the goal because a lot of our customers are great.
Yeah.
Like legends.
Yeah.
You do get the occasional one that are just not.
As
I don't know how else to say.
That's it. Yeah.
Who are just kind of, I don't know, I won't delve into it too much, but that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We're going to not do so many customer jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's the thing that a lot of people don't forget about customer jobs, as we sort of mentioned about like why at the start off camera about like my option for going down the path that I did.
Mm.
Don't get me wrong, everyone's got their own opinion about why they like doing it. But it's like, you know, it's a lot of admin, a lot of, you know, a lot of stress and that sort of stuff. Yep. And, you know, and it's rightfully so. Like these people put a lot of money into it as well.
That's the biggest thing.
But hey, if you have the option, like this isn't about good customer, bad customer. Mm. This is more just about business owner and doing what you guys want to do with your own life. Because at the end of the day, you guys have also got your own fucking life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so like obviously if you can go down a path where you have less stress and you obviously have the capacity and the knowledge to do it yourself.
That's
why you wouldn't. Yeah.
That's right. That's what we're going to do. Again, like it's not good customer, bad customer, like you said. It's more so just.
Exactly.
There's only, everyone deserves the same amount of attention, whether it's a $50,000 job or a $2 million job.
Yeah.
Right. They're all spending what they got, trusting it with us. So, and I just can't do any more customer jobs and still give them
the same
amount of my time. And it's it just has to stop where it is and just basically, just scale back a bit on that kind of stuff.
All right. Yeah, that's good though. It's exciting.
Yeah. It is. I'm stoked. I'm really keen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, man, you've obviously, you know, you built the brand. It's still building.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're still in the process. You're not 70 and you're done and dusted. We're very much still in
35,
the thick. Exactly, you know what I mean? You're still very much in the very much in the thick of it and you know, where you've built the brand and I think if you just keep doing the same thing repetitive all the time, it'll just as you said, it will get to a point where you can pick and choose to a degree. But you've earned that right, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you guys that are listening, if you are looking to be a carpenter, go down the path of being a builder. Just understand, it's the same thing as anything. You have to put reps into it. Mm-hmm. You have to stay in the game for long enough, do the right thing for long enough.
Yeah.
And eventually, 10, 15 years time, you'll be an overnight success.
Yeah.
That's literally it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes, yeah.
All right. Too easy. All right, John. Well, I want to thank you again, mate,
for coming
on.
Me, yeah.
We'll have to run this back again. Time has gone like that. It always does. Yep. But I hope you guys that are listening got something out of today's podcast. We delved in, you know, to a variety of different topics. So, hey, it was a good one. So, thank you again, John.
No worries,
appreciate
it. Thanks for having me.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's episode. If something hit home for you, it would mean the absolute world to us if you could like and share this podcast with someone else that would benefit from it. Tune into next week's episode as this will be one that you don't want to miss.